Blog Talk Radio.
Once again to the Hills of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Sunday and Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we encourage you to join us and be blessed by the Word of God. Lord, help me to realize that setbacks are normal to life. Let me not be fearful, anxious, or overwhelmed because of this setback, but enable me to learn and to lean on you and rely on you and your strength to see me through any situation. Help me not to be discouraged, O Lord, or resentful, and not to dwell on the past, but to anticipate and look towards the future with hope and expectations. Show me how to turn my setbacks into comebacks. If there are any lessons to learn, reveal to me what I need to know, my God. And then give me guidance and wisdom to go forward with confidence in the pursuit of your plan for my future. I refuse to let setbacks or failures defeat me or define me. I put my trust in you, O Lord, my God, and I have confidence you will direct my steps and bring to fruition your plan and purpose for my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Praise be to Almighty God as we continue on this spiritual journey, and we have been teaching the lesson, the believer's authority, or the authority of the believer, how to quit losing and start winning. Everything given to man, everything Satan willed to be in his rebellion, God created man to be. Satan said, I will ascend into heaven. Mankind was created to have fellowship with God. We were created to walk and talk with God of this universe. We were created to reign with him. Revelation chapter 20 verse 6 says, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Satan said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God refer to angels. Satan desired to be above the angels in importance. The Apostle Paul wrote that one day we would judge the angels. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3 says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Satan said, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Beloved, we are seated in the heavenly realm in Jesus. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice that Satan quotes God's word in order to twist them into his deception. Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Beloved, Eve had touched to what God had actually said, but she still remembered the penalty. You will not surely die. That's a lie by Satan. Satan contradicted what God had said. But Eve still continued to listen. Then Satan promised a reward for sin. Verse 5 says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan said to Eve and Adam, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God. They were already like God, but Satan tricked them into wanting more. Many times, beloved, we picture Eve alone when Satan, disguised as a serpent, came to her. That is not what the scripture says. In verse 6, we read, "She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." They both stopped following God's words, followed their natural senses, listened to Satan, and ate the fruit. Verse 6, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the fruit, God's nature left them. They had been clothed in glorious light, the nature of God. Now they were naked. Using the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan had deceived Adam and Eve, tricked and defeated them. Satan has not changed, beloved. His tactics are the same today. So I encourage you to be careful. Satan had deceived them, and mankind was stripped of their covering, their dominion, and their authority. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering." Satan had defeated Adam and Eve. Now the former rulers of this earth were covering and hiding behind a bush. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10 says, "So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." It is important to understand that even after Adam and Eve sinned, they were still made in the image of God. However, they no longer had the life of God in them. They were spiritually dead. Genesis chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 6. "So God blessed Noah and his sons, and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that moves on the earth, and on all the fish of the seas. They are given into your hand. Whosoever shed man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For is the image of God, he made man. Man was still to be fruitful, increase, fill the earth, subdue, and to have dominion and to rule. Now this would be done in pain, by the sweat of your brow, and all living things would live in the dread of mankind." Beloved, God had created Adam and Eve to rule this earth. However, when man disobeyed God and exercised his will contrary to God's will, he died spiritually. He was robbed of his God-given authority and dominion. Since a serpent had allowed Satan to use his body, a curse was placed on all serpents. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." There were two parts to the curse put on woman. She would bear children in pain, and man would rule over her. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 says, "To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." When a woman accepts Jesus as a personal Savior, she regains her created position. Jesus became the curse for her. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The curse put on man was that he would toil the ground in pain to secure food. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is that ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. The earth also was cursed." Verses 18 and 19, "Both thorns and thistles shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." At the very same time, Satan gained his great victory over mankind. God pronounced a curse on him. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heels." God spoke to Satan, who was inside the serpent, and told him that the offspring of the woman would crush his head. The curse put on Satan was also the first promise of the coming Messiah. The seed was a prophecy of Jesus Christ, who was to be born of a woman. Satan would be under the feet of Jesus Christ. His head would be crushed and bruised. In the story of the fall of man, there are several types or symbols of the future. The fig leaves that Adam and Eve used to cover themselves are symbols of man's attempt to cover his own sins. They symbolize religions designed by man. The first shedding of blood was done by God to cover Adam and Eve. This was a sign or a type of Jesus, who would be slain as an atonement for the sins of the whole world. Even at the darkest point in the history of human race, God had a plan of salvation for mankind. Jesus Christ, God's Son, of his own free will, would give his life for us, and we thank God for that. By his death, he would bring Satan's defeat. Satan would strike Jesus' heel, and Jesus Christ would crush Satan's head. Satan's authority would be crushed, and that authority would be restored to man according to God's original plan. Satan has never stopped hating and fearing men and women who were created to look and act like God. His plan of deception has never stopped. Through deception, spiritual leaders through the ages have been robbed of their power. They have become blind leaders of the blind. Satan has organized his forces into a full battle plan. Rulers of darkness are assigned to each nation, each man, woman and child to bondage. Their instructions are to steal, kill, and destroy. God brought the law to humanity so that they could have forgiveness for sins and walk in communion with Him. But for 4,000 years, Satan lived in dominion over the earth because of mankind's disobedience. Beloved, people created to rule over this planet were blind and begging beside the roads, bound with spirits of infirmity, possessed with legions of demons, faces and bodies created to look like God, were eaten away with dreaded leprosy. Men and women created to reign and rule were living in defeat. We bless the name of the Lord, beloved, as we continue on this spiritual journey. We want to thank the Lord once again for His amazing grace. Sunday and Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you are living in the New York area, we are extending an invitation to you to fellowship with us at the House of Christ Ministries, Inc., 199-20 Linden Boulevard, St. Albans, New York, 11412. You can join us for a prayer meeting on Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. and on Saturdays at 2:30 p.m. Our School of Ministry holds classes on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. We are currently teaching Spiritual Enrichment, Understanding, Deliverance. Praise be to God. As we continue on this spiritual journey, we want to encourage you to stay in the Lord. Understand your authority as a believer. Continue to seek the Lord. Continue to stay in prayer. Continue to repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to open your eyes that you can see clearly. And let His word be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, beloved, as we continue on this journey. We bless the name of the Lord. Are you washed in the blood?
Songs that they taught me when I was a little boy. It just simply said, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are fully trusting in His grace. This hour are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your
when the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for that mansion bride? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? So lay aside those garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain that's flowing for the soul. Unclean, oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Help me say,
are you washed?
Are you washed yet?
In the blood.
In the blood.
Journey. We pray that our lesson tonight was a blessing to you. And sometimes we feel a little let down because of circumstances. But as we continue on this journey, we would like to encourage you, don't quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you are treading seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when all is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit, beloved. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint on the clouds of doubt, and you can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems far. So stick to the fight. When you're hardest hit, it's when things go wrong that you must not quit. And these words of encouragement was written by John Greenleaf Whittier. And we bless the name of the Lord. The Bible tells us, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the mire bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Psalms 40, verses 1 through 3. We bless the name of the Lord for his word. And Psalm 42, verse 11 says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. So when things go wrong, beloved, keep praising the Lord. Never give up. He will never leave nor forsake you. Just trust in him and be of good courage. He bless the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, lift up your hands. Say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. You're holy, yes, you are. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Oh, because of who you are, you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are. Oh, yes, I will. I will worship you. Because of who you are. Everybody say together,
because of who you are, I give you glory.
Just because of who you are,
because of who you are, I will lift my voice.
Lift up your hands. Yeah. Yeah. Jehovah Jireh.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, as we worship you because of who you are. Beloved, sometimes we are under constant assault. We worry, fear, stress, and anxiety make war on many of us on a daily basis. I want to encourage you tonight to replace worry with faith in God, and to replace anxiety with God's peace. Our prayer is that this program will provide encouragement, strength, and inspiration to help you overcome whatever challenges you may be facing in your life at this time. Be reminded that God is on your side. God is for you, and He will see you through all the problems that you're currently facing. But you must trust Him. Maybe you face frustration on a higher level, like feeling as though you're stuck in a dead-end job, or trying to get through to a rebellious teen. Perhaps you're frustrated with yourself because you just don't seem to lose weight or stick with that exercise plan. Maybe you can't find the opportunity to spend quality time with your spouse or your kids, or you feel you're not on the spiritual level you desire. But whatever the source, frustration can do agitated. Frustration can keep you upset and just no fun to be around. The Bible has an excellent weapon to keep frustration from infiltrating your lives. It is maintaining an attitude of gratitude and culminating a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Whenever you catch yourself starting to get frustrated, start saying out loud, beloved, I refuse to get frustrated. I have a lot to be thankful for. Then begin to say some of the things you are thankful for out loud. Your frustration will start to melt away like a snowball in the hot August sun. If it's a problem that needs to be solved, then pray to the true and living God. Ask Him to help you. He said He would give you wisdom if you ask. Refuse to let petty frustration affect you or steal your joy. Instead, enter into God's presence by giving thanks and praising God for what you have. Praise God for what you've been through. Praise God from where He brought you from to where you are right now. And sometimes God will test us to see our reactions. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says, beloved, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Exodus chapter 14, verse 14 says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace." Psalm 34, verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." We serve an awesome God. Thomas Edison once wrote, "Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try." Just one more time, beloved. Just try and give it all to Jesus. Praise be to Almighty God. As we come to the end of our program tonight, we pray that it was a blessing to you. We want to thank God for you. We thank God for teaching us every day, and He's showing us how to live our lives. Beloved, let us pray. O God, my Father, lead me in your truth and teach me. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and loving kindnesses, for they have been ever a fold. Praise you, Lord. Guide me in judgment and teach me your ways in everything. I thank you for the truth, as your secret is with those who fear you. Thank you for your promise that you'll reveal your covenant to me. I love you, O Lord my God. I bless you tonight. God love you, and so do I. Good night.